Mary Louise McCausland. In all my years of dealing with the media, this is the first time I've been asked to talk about myself. You think it would be easy, but I find it easier to talk about issues. When I was young, I looked like Shirley Temple. Now, this is not my view of it. This is what I'm told I look like. And like Shirley Temple, I loved to sing. I never did get tap dance lessons, though. And every opportunity I had, I sang. But I was also a good student in school. So I could have gone either way. I could have been a singer, or I could have been a doctor, which was one of the plans for me. I grew up in a military camp near forest and places where you could run free and with all the nature that I've always enjoyed and which I love in Salmon Arm. The first real mentor I had in my life happened when I moved to London, Ontario. My father was posted there, and he was James Rainey, who is Canada's playwright and poet, well known. And I got to be in one of his plays called Listen to the Wind. It was the first time it was going to be played on stage. And I remember the audition very clearly because James Rainey, being a poet, is a very unusual man, and he was breaking grounds when writing plays. And he gave me a little sheet of paper with four lines, and they were buns and rolls, soups and teas, sausage and pies, sausage and pies. And he said, sing it. And being 16 years old, I looked at him as though he was crazy. And then he demonstrated it. And I sang it and earned my place in Listen to the Wind. Listen to the Wind was very successful. And James Rainey kept all the young people that he collected for it and created a listener's workshop. And every Saturday mornings, we would go down there, make spontaneous opera, acted out poetry, and really learned a lot about theater. So he set for me my love of theater. I went on to the University of Calgary drama department, and I have a degree in drama from the University of Calgary. It was like all times that you spend at university, a lot of fun, a lot of hard work. We were up late and still had to carry a load of courses that were important to have as well as our drama classes. But there I met, again, another mentor in the name of Philip McCoy. And he only took 14 students a year, and I happened to be lucky enough to be one of him. And he showed us how theater fit into the real world, how everything had the ritual that theater had, and how theater is used from everything to politics to society, cultural rules. One of the best things, though, he taught me and that I did use in my life was how to be interviewed. He taught us that when you go for a job, you dress the part, you are the person in that job, you are that role. And I never forgot that. After university, you know, my strength was not acting, it was actually directing and playwriting. It's hard to get work as a director right out of university, so I went to work for Odeon Theatres. And I very much enjoyed working at Odeon Theatres. But I had the unfortunate event of having to hand the film Emmanuel over to the police. And it's the first time I ran against censorship. And I was furious with the police because Emmanuel had been passed by the Alberta censor. But someone had complained and they acted on the complaint. And when it was discussed in the office with the vice president and the district manager, the district manager said to me, Mary Lou, we don't fight this because we want to show that we are good corporate citizens. That's a phrase I never forgot either. That's one of the things I learned about Odeon Theatres. They moved me to Victoria, and 10 months later, I applied for the position of assistant director of film classification, which I managed to achieve. It's funny, though, the personnel officer forgot to inform me that I had been hired, and I found out only because I called the office and said that we had such a good interview, I wondered what the results were, and I'm moving back to Ontario, and they said, you better not pack your bags for Ontario, you need to pack your bags for Vancouver. And that's exactly what I did. So I became the third person on a panel who watched movies for a living and put the ratings on them, general, mature, and restricted. That became a four-category system under my guidance later. I became director of film classification after my mentor there, Ray McDonald, retired. But Ray taught me again another important lesson. He said, "Mary Lou, just think about what it is to do public service." And I said, "What do you mean, Ray?" And he says, "Just think about it. There is no better kind of profession you could have than to give service to your community, to the public." And that lesson also stayed with me, something I never forgot as I worked through the role of director of film classification. Now, I said Philip McCoy's thing about interview was something I'd use later on in my life, and this is the point where I did. I went over to Victoria for the interview for the position of director of film classification. I brought my own makeup artist, and I had my hair done just so, and a dress chosen especially for the situation. I put on the costume and I put on the role of director, and I walked into that room and I had so much confidence. And I think the things that sold them on me as director, because I was very young, I was a woman and I was under the age of 30 at the time, was the answer to a question one of the assistant deputy ministers asked me, and that was, "Mary Lou, you are so idealistic. It's like you want to turn lead into gold. Now, how is this going to serve you?" And I smiled at him and said, "Oh, I may not be able to turn the lead into gold, but just think what I'll discover along the way." I had a good history as director of film classification, and it showed me a great deal about government processes and what it's like to work with politicians and also to be able to be the person behind them, to make them look good, to make the things that you want out there, because they're the messengers. They're the messenger carrier for the work that us as civil servants did. And I had different ones, and some of them were better than others, of course, but I got along with them all very well and learned a great deal from them. But one of the things we did achieve was writing a new Motion Picture Act. And that became a standard across Canada. But it also put my world into a very difficult world of having to go to court cases and being qualified as an expert witness. I had to do that with the film Caligula, and I was qualified in Alberta. And that's on the community standard of tolerance and on artistic merit. So even then, the arts were behind me in terms of what I was doing for a career. But I didn't stop there when pursuing the arts. All the while as director of film classification, I was doing something with theater. The first part of it was producing plays that won the BC Drama Festival, and I did that with Conduct Unbecoming. And then later on, I worked with young people on Gambier Island, and a friend of mine, Ray Hudson, and my sister, Virginia McCausland, she was the screenplay writer, or the stage play writer. Ray was the musician and the songwriter. We did 12 original musicals with about 60 kids, and in 6 days, they had to learn their lines, their dances, and all the songs, and put it on in front of an audience that came to the island to see them. And that was so satisfying, to work with young people and develop their skills and encourage them in being good theater people and loving the arts. And I'm hoping in many of them that they've continued on to do that. After film classification, I ended up at the Organized Crime Agency for a year. And I was there during 9/11. It is an interesting thing to watch the emergency service providers react to such an issue as that, the first of its kind that hit North America, and it just drove home what police feel when they're out there and when they're trying to protect people, the same with the fire people, etc. And while I was there, I wrote a paper for the Chief Douglas on the convergence of terrorism and organized crime. With that also, after that year with them, I ended up on the Surrey Board of Trade as a vice president, and I started the Crime and Justice Committee. I lived in Surrey, And Surrey was having a lot of crime happening, and we were having problems with the way that the sentences were coming down and the delay in the court proceedings. And the Surrey Board of Trade worked with the city, the municipality, primarily Diane Watts, a name that you might recognize, to be able to start to address this issue and to lobby for a community court. While I was there at the Board of Trade, I met Jim King, who is now in Osorius, but he was the Executive Director of the Surrey Crime Prevention Society. I went to work with him and eventually took over his program when he moved to Osorius. Now, Surrey Crime Prevention is like a citizens on patrol, only we went a little further. We actually had foot patrols on at malls and around parks. And recreation centers. So we supported the police, we worked with the police, and we deterred crime. But we also had a program in terms of locating stolen cars. And that was a very interesting process. I had a lot of young people working with me. I guess that gives you some of the flavor of my background, but I should say that I came to Salmon Arm to get away from things that were happening in Surrey, particularly the violence. And after several visits, I saw something in Salmon Arm that was wonderful. It was like going home to the place where I could walk a forest and feel pretty comfortable. I might run into a bear or two, but there are ways of dealing with that, or deer, or what have you. And I saw something remarkable at Salmon Arm. Its people had a spirit about them. They had a creative bent that even with little resources, the arts flourish here, the arts and crafts, the theater, the bands. We have a community band, a stringed orchestra, we have choirs, and all of those kinds of things that make the community rich. And the work of all the different types of groups, such as Trail Alliance or the Food Co-op. Food Co-op is really unique, Roots and Blues, and the Chamber here, which I became a part of as well, have come together to make Salmon Arm more than a pretty place. That's why I like to live here.